Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be talking about the fire of the Lord today. You know, I mentioned that I feel the darkness really settling in here in America, and after returning from a couple of month mission trip in Africa, I really could feel the darkness has settled in America, the oppression. And the scripture that I spoke to you last week was from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And so I feel that deep darkness is here, that darkness is encroaching upon the lives of each and every person. And the only way, beloved, that you can make it through this darkness, the only way that you can see your way through this darkness is to stay in the Word of God, is to stay close to Him, and to allow Him to lead you with His light. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Exodus 13. We're going to look at some scripture in the Old Testament that talks about the fire of the Lord and the purposes for the fire, the different things that the fire of the Lord represents. And so we're going to be talking about that. If you open your Bible to Exodus 13, we see that the Lord went before the Israelites by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and by night. And so when God was leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, and he was taking them towards the promised land, he led them by day with a pillar of cloud, and he led them by night with a pillar of fire, so that they could travel by night. And we're talking about maybe several million people here, 600,000 men plus the women and children. And so we're talking about possibly 2-3 million people with their livestock. And so God was leading them so that they would not get lost at night, so that they would not be fearful of the wild beasts at night, and they could see where they were going. And he was lighting up their path out in the wilderness as they proceeded towards the promised land. And so he will do the same for you as you go through the wilderness of this land, as you go through the wilderness in your life. Many of us have gone through the wilderness and have reached the promised land in a spiritual sense, but many, many out there are wandering in the darkness. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know whether to go to the right or to the left. And so I encourage you today, beloved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you start on your pathway, that you start on your journey by accepting the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, by confessing him as your Savior and receiving him into your heart. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of your sin and repent of your sin and receive the Lord into your heart, and then God will guide you. He will lead you with his fire. He will direct your path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so God's word cleanses us. God's word washes us clean. God's word purifies us, and God himself will be the fire in your light. He will be the guiding force in your light. Well, in Deuteronomy 4:24, in the preparation for the children of Israel to actually go into the promised land, Moses is speaking to them, and he says, "For our God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." And so that also speaks of the fire of God. It is a consuming fire. And when you give yourself over to God, he wants to consume every aspect of your life. He wants to consume every detail in your life. If you will submit your life to him, he will purify you. He will start to cleanse out those things in your life that have no meaning, that are just details in your life that take up your time and keep you busy, but keep you separated from God and keep the darkness in your life. And so as you allow the light of the Lord to come in your life, as you allow that fire to come in and burn out everything that is not of God, to burn out and to make ashes anything that does not bring glory and honor to God, then he will start to consume you. He will start to purify you. He'll purify your thoughts. He'll purify your heart. The mission of him will speak into your life. The mission that he has for you that comes from the Father's heart will speak into your life, and you will start to be directed by the Holy Spirit. You will start to receive counsel by the Holy Spirit. You'll start to receive direction by the Holy Spirit. And when you allow the Lord to consume you, you don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know where you're going to end up, but I can assure you, beloved, that you're going to be in a better place than where you are right now. When you allow the fire of the Lord to start to burn out all the dross and all the chaff and everything in your life that does not bring glory and honor to him, I can assure you, you're going to be in a better place. You will be in an exalted place, and the light will shine in you, that light that God wants to stir up in you and that God wants to brighten in you. It will start to shine, and other people will come to that light. Other people will seek that light, and you will be a beacon or a city on a hill. You'll be a light without that bushel basket upon you, and you'll be a light that will proceed to lead other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our God gives light, as he did in the pillar of light to the Israelites. He also purifies us with his fire to burn out anything that is not of you. And also, just the presence of God is represented by the fire. Just his very presence in our life is represented by the fire. In Exodus 3:2, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." Well, I can imagine if that was me, I would have been not only perplexed but terrified to see something like that happen. And as I read this story about Moses, I'm sure Moses was very confounded by it. And so God appears to him as a burning bush, but the bush does not burn up. The bush just keeps burning. And Moses said to God, "I will not turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." And then God said to Moses, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And so as God presented himself to Moses as a burning bush, he showed himself to be the fire of that consuming nature, that fire of that burning presence of the Lord. God showed himself to Moses, and Moses then realized that he was standing on holy ground because he took his shoes off and he listened then to what the Lord had to say to him. And so God presents himself to us sometimes as fire. I think any of us would say that we are fascinated when we see fire, when we see lightning, when we see strikes of lightning across the earth. It's the fire of the Lord is presenting himself, and he is showing himself great and mighty. And so there's many ways, even in our own lives, that God presents himself to us as fire. And we know that fire has a consuming nature here. The consuming nature of fire is that we can put things in the fire and it will burn up and it will turn to ashes. And so it is true in our life, that as God burns out everything in us, as his presence comes into our life, as his presence starts to manifest in our life, that presence then becomes the guiding force and the guiding light in our life. In Leviticus 6:12, more about the presence of the Lord and the fire of his presence. In Leviticus 6:12, they're in the tabernacle of meeting. It says, "And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings." And then Leviticus 6:13, "A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." And so there was an offering to go up to the Lord. in the tabernacle of meeting. There was a fire on the altar that was to be kept going by the priests, and they were to put sacrifices on the burnt offering and offer them up to the Lord, and it was for a soothing aroma in the nostrils of the Lord. It was for a soothing aroma as it reached up to the throne room of God, and it carried with it the prayers of the saints. It carried with it their petitions and their crying out to the Lord and their prayers. And so God declared that that fire would never go out. And then in Leviticus 9:23, as the people were receiving the instruction and receiving the tabernacle of meeting, or allowing the Lord to give them the tabernacle of meeting for the first time through Moses and Aaron, it says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting, and they came out, and they blessed the people. And then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people." And verse 24, "And fire came out from before the Lord, and consumed the burnt offering, and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." And so God appeared to them again, and he consumed all the fat on the altar. He consumed it right in front of the eyes of the people. And so he showed the people that he was present with them. He showed the people that he was going to be there with them, that they could send their representative Moses and Aaron to the tabernacle of meeting and meet with God. And he proved to them that he was real. He proved to them that he was right there. He proved to them that he had power. And so he can do that to you, beloved. He will prove to you that he is real in your life. He will prove to you that he has power. He will consume your enemies. He will consume the enemy in your life when he comes against your life. And so God has that fire for you this day, this very day, and he wants you to embrace that fire. 1 Kings 18:24, we see one of the great stories of the Old Testament, where Elijah is confronted by the prophets of Baal, and Elijah challenges them to empower encounter. He challenges them to prove that their God is real, and he says to them, "Let's build an altar, and then we'll see whose God shows up. We'll challenge our God, and you challenge your God Baal, and we'll see which God shows up to burn the things that we put on this altar." And so they fixed up this altar. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." In verse 38 in 1 Kings 18, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench." In verse 39, "Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" And so Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, and he said to them, "You prove that your God is real. You prove that your God is here and that he's real, that he hears you when you cry out to him, that he answers your cries, that he answers your prayers. I'll prove to you that my God is real. I'll prove to you that my God, Jehovah God, the one and only true God, is listening to me, and he will prove it by licking up everything on this altar with fire. He will prove it by licking up everything and showing to you that he has heard my cry, and that he is here, and that he is real, and that he is listening to me when I cry out to him." And so the people saw it. They saw the fire come down. They saw the Lord present himself as fire and consume everything on the altar. And the people cried out and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Psalm 104, verse 4 tells us that he who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. And so we get from that that God also sends out his angels to minister on his behalf. And these angels act as fire. These angels have the power of fire to go into places of darkness, to burn out anything that is not of the Lord. They have the power to go in places of darkness and to purify and to cleanse and to lead people out of dark places. And so God himself uses fire within his very own ranks, within his very own ministers, the angels. He uses fire to accomplish his purposes in the lives of people who call on him and pray to him, and God sends his angels then to minister to people on his behalf. Well, as we turn to the New Testament, the fire shows up first, or it's spoken of first, here in Matthew 3, verse 11, when John the Baptist, the messenger, the one who goes before to pave the way for Jesus, that one who went ahead to speak about Jesus, the one who was coming after him, who was going to be greater than him. John the Baptist refers to this man, and he refers to the fire of God coming from this man, or coming with this man and accompanying this man who was coming after him. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so John the Baptist said, "I give you a baptism of water that is for repentance." And when you call out to the Lord, when you cry out to him, and you repent of your sins, and you turn away from your wicked ways, then it is time for you to be baptized, to show the world that you have repented, to show the world that you have accepted Jesus, to show the world that you want to bury that old person. And that's what baptism of water is. You're burying that old person in the water, and the water is washing away. The water represents the cleansing power of God, the cleansing power of his word, the cleansing and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And as that water washes over you, that old man is buried, that old man is washed away, and as you come up out of the water, as you rise up a new creation, you're identifying yourself with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're identifying yourself with a new man, a new creation. You are a new man inside and out. You may look the same, but you're not the same. People may still recognize you and call you by the same name, but I can guarantee you, beloved, you are not the same after you have been washed and cleansed by the water. If you have been set free by the word of the Lord and set free by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you are not going to be the same. And you may still look, have the same physical attributes, but you are not going to be the same. You are going to be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away, and the new has come. And so as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, some of you out there listening today that I'm speaking to, you need to be baptized. Some of you listening today, you've never taken that step of immersion baptism, of water baptism. You need to do that to seal the victory and to identify yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and say to the world, this is what I believe. This is my testimony to the world. And to give evidence to the world that you are a new creation, to give evidence to the world that Jesus Christ has become your Lord and your Savior, that he has become your guiding light. And as you do that, as you are baptized, then you identify yourself and you establish your walk with the Lord through obedience. You establish your walk with the Lord through obedience to him. Jesus Christ himself was baptized. He went down into the water. His cousin John the Baptist baptized him, and John said, no, I shouldn't be doing this. And Jesus said, yes, let's do this, because this is fulfilling all righteousness. He said to John, this is to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus, what he meant by that was, this is the right thing to do, to witness to the world that I am the Son of God, to witness to the world that I want to be cleansed as much as any man here on the face of the earth, that I want to be cleansed also by the Word of God and cleansed by that purifying fire that is sent from God above. And so Jesus was baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, and when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came and settled upon him, and the clouds opened up, and the people standing around there heard the words of the Lord, and the Lord God Almighty said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so God spoke that Jesus Christ was being obedient to him in baptism, that Jesus Christ was being obedient, and he was acknowledging that this baptism was being done for the sake of righteousness, to do the right thing, to present himself as a righteous human being before Creator God. And so John the Baptist spoke again in Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And verse 12, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn out the chaff with unquenchable fire." And that fire represents another side of God, and that is the judging side of God, that eternal judgment that comes to those who have refused the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. That eternal judgment comes, that fire of hell comes to those who have been stubborn, to those who have been rebellious to God's witness in their life, to those who have not accepted what God has sent for them in terms of the Holy Spirit convicting their heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment. They've denied his power. They've denied his consuming fire in their life. And so God has another fire for them. And that is the fire of hell, where they will be for all eternity crying out to the Lord, for all eternity crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, give me another chance. Go speak to my grandmother, go speak to my grandfather, speak to my children, speak to my brothers, my sisters." And at that point in time, beloved, it will be too late. When you are in that unquenchable fire that is burning out the chaff, and that unquenchable fire, it will be too late for you then to make any changes. It will be too late, because at that point in time, the fire is going to consume you and is going to burn, and it will torment your soul for all eternity. And I just pray that that's not you today. I pray that you receive the love that Jesus has for you. I pray that if you're walking in sin, that you forsake that way, that you turn from your wicked ways. If you're walking in disobedience and rebellion, that you turn back to the Lord, that you cry out to him. There's nothing you've done that God can't forgive. There's nothing, no lifestyle and no pattern of behavior that God is not able to forgive. He will forgive you if you come to him with a sincere and a repentant heart. And so I pray that that is you today, that you turn from your wicked ways, that you come to the Lord, that you let his consuming fire burn up anything in you that is not of him, that you present to him your heart today and say, "Lord, this I give to you. I give myself to you. I give myself to you so you can use me. And take out anything that is not of you. Take it and put it on the altar and burn it out. Put it on the altar and let it be consumed and go up as a fragrant offering to you." If there's something in your life you need to turn over to the Lord today, I pray that you would do that. I pray that you would ask the Lord to come in and purify you and burn out anything that is not of him, and cleanse you and make you ready to serve him for all eternity. Well, I thank you for listening today. We're going to be talking more next week about the fire of the Lord, how it came in and it started the body of Christ in the first chapter of Acts. And so if you tune in for that, you'll be hearing more about the fire of the Lord next week. Stay tuned for contact information. We've got some great projects going in Africa and here in America, and we're going to be sending you a free book for any who hears this message and makes a donation this month of November, we're going to be sending you a free book. So stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.